is the Najl Balagha is nothing but the sequence of Quran, or you know, the tali of Quran is the same in Farsi.
Okay.
You know, the following of Quran. So that's how important it is, and we should definitely pay more attention to it.
That's all right. And the true position of this book, you know, the case of interpretation and the case of commentators and interpreters of the Nahjul Balagha are really important, because, you know, when you look at the text of Nahjul Balagha, some parts are really hard to understand. I mean, because the wording, especially on the sermons, on some of the sermons, needs interpretation itself.
Definitely.
It is very true that we can say these words have been said by a person who has tackled these issues from a very high position regarding spirituality. So it knows its own interpretations, its own courses on the universities and the houses. And this is, we can say, what they have done about great scholars and great books in the Western world. They have held different courses of universities and the houses on a specific, we can say, scientist or book,
mm-hmm.
and discussed it. There are some specific people and scholars in the world whose only interest are working on a specific person or scientist or a scholar during the history of the Western philosophy, for example. But what we did about Nahjul Balagha, did we do this exactly? There are some people who have wrote sharh on that, or there are some organizations on that. But in order to make it more applicable in the daily lives of the people, I think the role of the interpreters and the scholars are important here. Isn't it, brother?
We have not worked a lot on this precious book, and we have not actually started decoding the importance of this book. The book, which is with us now, actually, as I said, it was left obsolete in the course of history, and it was not used as it's supposed to do. As for the interpretation of it, it's interesting to know that one of the important interpretations and commentaries on Nahjul Balagha has been done by a Sunni brother, Ibn Abil Hadid, who was a great Sunni scholar. Alhamdulillah, recently, there have been actually some new works on Nahjul Balagha and its interpretation. But it's really sad to say that they are not to the level that it deserves to be. So that's why it has not been worked on, though it has a variety of topics and subjects in it, and that it can actually cover different areas and arenas that are of need of today's human life. It has issues, it has actually topics about the lifestyle of the human being, what is actually a sort of affliction of human being in our today's life, that they are in need of knowing how to live. These are the points that are needed. And at the same, they are said, these things, these words, these sermons, these wasings have been said by a leader, a person who was in the leadership of the Islamic society, and at least he was a potential, if he was not superficially in power, but he was actually a person who had the claim of being a leader of the Islamic Ummah and has been appointed by the Prophet of Islam. Anyhow, at least some years of his holy life, he was in the position of the leadership of the Islamic society. So when we say that he had a set of comprehensive subjects presented to us, and it's our time to get benefit and to get you and collect the knowledge that we need from this precious book. We see in this book topics about moralities, about our world, our dunya, and also our hereafter. Whatever we need to know as a human being in this life, whatever we have read or recited in Quran, is actually complemented by Nahjul Balagha.
That's all right. They say it is a compendium to the Holy Quran. We have these great books. Also, Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya is really missed, you know, in the world.
In comparison to Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya,
yeah.
Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya, actually the mission of actually that book was
mm-hmm.
different, because it was mostly around the dua, and
yes.
through dua, Imam tried to teach people
yes.
whatever he wanted. But he sees clearly in every science, in every actually branch of knowledge, when you want, Imam actually enters professionally and teaches you very directly. Because Imam did not have those cautious that actually Imam Sajjad had at his time.
That's
he
right.
was the leader, and Imam okay. Sajjad, unfortunately, did not have this opportunity to be openly talking to people and disclosely talk to people. But Imam
right.
Alhamdulillah had this chance to say whatever he wanted.
Okay, that's right. Thank you very much, Brother Ali. Brother Sohail, what's your final remarks on this?
Well, Saif Sajjadia, I would like to say, even as Brother mentioned, because of the time of Imam Sajjad alayhi wasalam,
mm-hmm.
it makes it different than Najul Balagha.
Mm-hmm.
And all in all, the time of Imam Ali was actually the, you can say, is the peak time of Islamic glory, right? And one of the peakest time of Islamic glory. And Imam Ali was as the first person of the Islamic government during that time. He was the leader. And most of the sermons and most of the letters were given by him during that time. So he had an encompassing view over all the affairs of human society, starting from individual life to the social life, and you know, from various dimensions. So that's one thing that makes it Najul Balagha different than any other book.
That's right.
But still, Imam Khamenei mentions is in one of his speeches that if you get tawfiq, you know, if you get that inner inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then after doing some research and research work on Najul Balagha and learning from that, you can start with Saif-e Sajjadia as well.
That's right.
Because that's another book
mm-hmm.
which is not being given that importance which is due.
That's right.
For it.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Sohail and Brother Ali Al-Avian for your presence in the program Viewpoints, which was on the topic Nahjul Balagha as discussed by the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Dear listeners, visit our website at parstudio.com/Iran Call of Islam Radio, also our YouTube channel, Call of Islam page. See you in another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
يا نور الهلال أقبل تعال فالشوق طال والقلب سما نحو السماء مترنما لا تنقضي أنت للروح دواء رمضان
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Sudan and one entire month of intense fighting there between the country's army and a paramilitary group known as Rapid Support Forces or RSF. As the conflict, airstrikes battered the capital Khartoum. Warplanes were seeing bombing targets, with witnesses saying the fighter jets pounded various parts of the city. That caused telecommunication towers. Forces loyal to both groups, the army led by Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and RSF leader Mohammed Hamdan Dagalo, also known as Hemeti, are fighting intense street battles as well. This is Burhan and Dagalo are engaged in a power struggle over the RSF army. While the deadly battle rages on in Sudan, delegations to Saudi Arabia for talks with the aim of bringing the devastating conflict to an end. The army confirmed that it had sent envoys to Saudi Arabia to discuss what it called details of a truce with its paramilitary foes. The RSF also confirmed that its delegation is present in Saudi Arabia for talks. Meanwhile, the United States issued a joint statement confirming direct talks between the warring sides in the Saudi city of Jeddah. The statement welcomed the start of the talks and called for a sustainable global effort to quell the fight. The negotiations in Jeddah are the first such serious attempts to end the battle, so far failed to bring war in Sudan to a halt. The fighting has brought much of the country's vital to the brink of collapse, with people of the nation struggling to provide needs. Heavy gunfire and deadly so many countries to withdraw their citizens and nationals from Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Netherlands are among those which have ordered Sudan. Some others have suspended their operations amid heavy fighting. The deadly conflict in Sudan comes as global organizations have catastrophe there. According to a non-governmental or disaggregated conflict data collection, far killed around Khartoum and the western Darfur region. Some other organizations have sounded the number of children being impacted by the UN Children's Agency. UNICEF expressed concern that the situation in Sudan is a frighteningly large number of children. Units of 200 children were killed and about 1,700 wounded only during the first 11 days. UNICEF says the actual number could be much higher. The story, though, is that some countries have warned that they expect to come a long time. The International Organization for Migration, 450 left their homes since the fighting began. That includes more than 115,000 countries like Chad. And the UNHCR flow of 860,000 clearly showed the magnitude of the tragedy there, with many saying the conflict exacerbated the already dire humanitarian situation. The United Nations has warned that if it goes on between the two forces, it could raise the number of Sudanese threatened by hunger by as many. Given all the disappointing figures in Saudi Arabia have raised hopes not only for the country, but for many in the region and around the globe that the conflict could. This not only will save the lives of unrest and uprisings throughout the or so, but would also bring relief. Not want to see another genocidal conflict. But with a sustainable solution during the talks, it will be hard for the people of Sudan.
The sounding bell of the U.S. stock market that should be performing well. But this is going on in the U.S. economy. Instead, it should be going off due to the U.S. banking sector, shares of two more U.S. lenders. Regulators had to step in after PacWest's Alliance shares plunged. Although there was optimism in the banking sector jumped Friday, following a good jobs report and strong Apple earnings, there were still fears and worries about the sector, mid-sized banks, since early March. BankCust feared a repeat of other bank failures in the U.S., B and Signature, are justified. As many as more than $57 billion in market value since last Friday. Regulators seized then sold first on Monday, marking the second ever U.S. bank collapse and the third major bank in 2 months, following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank, or SVB, and Signature.
Today, the Federal Reserve issued a report on the cause of the Silicon Valley Bank failure, and the failure squarely and its board for failing to oversee a safe and the Fed did put some heat on itself that it's not respond quickly enough and forceful on the ground, and these conditions also are conditions that First Republic faced.
Question that is being raised once again is U.S. financial crisis. Since 2001, more than 500 banks across the U.S. have closed. Most happened after the 2008 financial crisis. 2001, the largest was Washington Mutual, which closed during the early stages of the financial crisis. The closure of First Republic is the second largest in the U.S. and the largest. But this is what stands out for those that believe that there is another financial crisis in the making. About 70 banks across the U.S. have closed. The total assets of the three banks closed this year has exceeded the 25 banks that closed in 2008. Closures in 2023 is the largest in years.
In this case, you had a group of banks here that did not plan well. They did not plan well for big. They didn't plan for what they should be planning for, and that's a liquidity event where you have more than ordinary numbers of withdrawals, especially given their levels of uninsured deposits. That's a problem. And so, you know, the chickens have kind of come home to roost for all of these banks.
As seen here, the three banks, namely First Republic, Silicon Valley Bank, and Signature Bank, held a total of $532 billion in assets. That is more than the $526 billion, when adjusted for inflation, held by the 25 banks that collapsed in 2008 at the height of the global financial crisis. There are major factors that are affecting the health of U.S. banks. One of them are the recent Fed hikes. In March of this year, a study jointly released by economists from multiple universities in the U.S. showed that the Fed's rate hike greatly increased the vulnerability of the U.S. banking system.
Fed, just as they were stubborn and obstinate on the idea that inflation was transitory, they're being stubborn and obstinate on the idea that they need to hit 2% inflation before they let up on the tightening. And that's simply just history doesn't bear it out. And unless and until they come to that realization by studying history, you're going to see more and more of these situations.
Affected by the Federal Reserve's aggressive interest rate hikes, the value of financial assets like bonds held by many U.S. banks has shrunk sharply, and the asset value of some banks has even decreased by more than 20%. According to the study, if market confidence continues to weaken and more depositors withdraw their deposits, as many as 186 banks may become insolvent and face the risk of closure. That should be a major concern for the Fed and the man on top, the U.S. President Joe Biden. Another item of concern for the U.S. administration is the U.S. debt ceiling. As it stands, the Biden administration remains at odds with Republicans who have refused to increase the debt ceiling.
Our MAGA Republicans in Congress are threatening to undo all this progress by letting us, quote, default on the debt unless we agree to their demands. The two are totally unrelated. Whether you pay the debt or not doesn't have a damn thing to do with what your budget is, where you're going to spend money, how you're going to raise the money, what are you going to cut, they're two separate issues.
If the debt ceiling, which has reached its peak of $31.4 trillion, is not raised, that could potentially lead to a government shutdown on June 1st. The U.S. government reaction so far, in terms of an intervention, has been subdued. The Sentry says even though U.S. banks are failing, it is reported that U.S. authorities are unlikely to intervene. The reason given? Regional lenders, such as PacWest and Western Alliance, are not seen as systemically important, and more consolidation is predicted to be ahead. The outlook, however, looks bleak. Unless the Fed rides to the rescue with cuts in interest rates, the options are amalgamation, regulation, or more banks going bust. The response of the U.S. authorities suggests little appetite for a laissez-faire approach. While the U.S. is struggling with these economic issues, it is also facing the prospects of de-dollarization, which is uncontrollable since many countries are queuing up to wean their economy off the dollar. Russia has accused Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin with drones in a failed assassination attempt to kill President Vladimir Putin, vowing retaliation for what it has called a terrorist attack. Moscow has said the two drones were used in the alleged attack on Putin's residence in the Kremlin's citadel overnight, adding that the drones were disabled by electronic defenses.
It is technically possible. Ukraine has several types of drones that can fit the profile. For example, its newly developed UJ-22 drone can actually fly the distance. It's a commercial drone that they acquired from China. It's Mugin 5 cargo drone, which can be basically purchased online and could be refitted into a military drone. That drone can fly several hundred kilometers, and it was used in previous attacks.
Kremlin statement said, "We regard these actions as a planned terrorist act and an attempt on the president's life carried out on the eve of Victory Day, the May 9 parade, at which the presence of foreign guests is also planned."
And of course, attacks of this kind, if they are in fact carried by Ukrainian military, are meant to keep the Russian military off balance by forcing them to reallocate and rededicate air defense resources to specific places like Moscow, probably at the expense of other regions, including, for example, Russian military inside Ukraine proper that has to have enough air defense and electronic warfare protection.
Separately, the Speaker of Russia's parliament demanded the use of, quote, weapons capable of stopping and destroying the Kiev terrorist regime, response to the alleged attack on Kremlin. However, Ukraine denied any involvement in the alleged drone operation. Kiev has said the attack was, quote, staged by Moscow.
The Russians may try to leverage this narrative around an assassination on Putin to then up their game with regards to pretext to up their game to go after Zelensky himself. But they've been trying to do that anyway since the beginning of the war. There's plenty of reporting that indicates Russian kind of kill teams were out there trying to hunt down both Zelensky and his family. So it's mainly, I think, a rally around the flag effect that the Russians are going for.
Meanwhile, Ukraine says Russia has targeted cities in a new wave of missile strikes and shelling across the country. Officials and media outlets say multiple explosions were heard in the capital, Kiev, and elsewhere. Blasts caused by Russian shelling were also reported in the southern Zaporizhzhia region and the port city of Odessa. Kiev and some central and eastern Ukrainian regions have announced air alerts following the Russian statement accusing Ukraine of attacking the Kremlin. There are now some reports that Ukrainian forces have begun their counterattack in Bakhmut. Russian officials have said Ukraine's counteroffensive against Russia will have no benefit and will only lead to more bloodshed. The U.S. and its allies have put much hope in the offensive. However, leaked documents show Western military officials do not expect Ukraine to regain as much territory. Ukrainian forces have also been using lots of manpower and other resources fighting in Bakhmut. The intensifying crisis comes amid fresh U.S. military aid to Ukraine. The U.S. is sending another $300 million military aid package to Ukraine, including, for the first time, short-range air-launched rockets, deepening its involvement in the war in defiance of repeated warnings by Russia. The package includes Hydra-70 rockets, which are unguided projectiles fired from aircraft. It also includes artillery rounds, 155mm howitzer cannons, anti-tank missiles, and mortars. The Pentagon has also sent at least 20 high-mobility artillery rocket systems, HIMARS, to Ukraine. HIMARS systems, which are made by Lockheed Martin, are intended to be a core component of Ukraine's fighting force in the future. The package brings the total amount of U.S. military aid to about $36 billion. The U.S. is still drawing funds for military assistance to Ukraine from the $45 billion aid package that Congress authorized in December.
Running against Russia, being nasty to Russia, is very popular. But I'll tell you what's not popular. More than 60% of the American people do not like all the money we're spending on Ukraine. And the American media is not reporting that, and it's also not reporting that there's demonstrations are going every weekend in Europe, particularly in Germany. There's a lot of demonstrations, not about the pipeline, against the war, the money that's being spent on Ukraine, and the whole notion of that war, and the whole rationale for the war. And you can almost understand why Biden wanted to keep Germany from having the option to open the pipeline.
The $45 billion is expected to be exhausted by the summer, meaning the White House might ask Congress for more funds soon. The U.S. and its Western allies have kept feeding Ukraine with massive amounts of arms since the start of the war last year. Moscow has time and again warned that military assistance will only prolong the war.
A well-known resistance actor within the Palestinian prisoners movement, Hador Adnan, has passed away on the 86th day of his hunger strike inside an Israeli prison following two decades of arrests. Hador spent nearly a fifth of his life behind bars, arrested 12 times by Israeli forces and subjected to over 8 years of captivity. He used hunger strikes to take power back and mobilize the world outside his prison cell in support of the Palestinian prisoners' struggle. Sustained arbitrary arrests and medical neglect led to Qadr's death The Palestinian Human Rights Organizations Council thus viewed Khadr's killing as premeditated murder by the Israeli regime. Israeli prison services were holding Khadr in solitary confinement and refused his family visitation rights right up to his death. He survived by his wife and 9 children. In his lifetime, Khadr Adnan carried out 6 hunger strikes. His first protest in 2004 lasted 25 days and popularized hunger strikes as an accessible means of resistance within the regime's military prison system. His second hunger strike in 2012, that lasted 66 days, was joined by hundreds of prisoners and triggered an international movement for the freedom of Palestinian prisoners. In 2015, he went on his third hunger strike for 56 days against another administrative detention. In 2017, Khadr was again arrested and went on a 58-day hunger strike. His fifth 25-day-long strike was directed at his penultimate arrest in 2021. During his most recent arrest in February, Israeli forces raided his home and terrorized his family. Khadr was no stranger to civil disobedience, therefore responded by immediately going on an open hunger strike. Israeli prison services retaliated with isolation orders, renewed every 2 weeks without review. He was held under deplorable conditions and was subjected to regular abuses. When Khadr fell seriously ill in April, ISP refused to transfer him to a hospital. Khadr was found unconscious in isolation in Ramallah Prison Clinic on May 2nd. Using deliberate medical neglect, indefinite isolation, and detention extensions, the regime foresaw and facilitated Khadr's death. He was killed behind the bars, a fate shared by over 233 Palestinian political prisoners. The international community's failure to intervene amplifies past evidence that international law is just a tool for the colonizer regime of Israel, not Palestinians. It shows that the international community aids and abets the Israeli regime's crimes by its deafening silence that today rings loud after the death of Khadr Adnan. Palestinians rallied in Gaza City as shops closed during a general strike following the death of Palestinian hunger striker Khadr Adnan in Israeli custody. In his hometown near Jenin, in the occupied West Bank, Adnan's 9-year-old son, Ali, led a protest march. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammad Shataya described the death of Adnan, who was arrested in the occupied West Bank, as a deliberate assassination.
The Palestinian cabinet holds the Israeli occupation, the prison authorities, and all its agencies fully accountable for the martyrdom of Khadr Adnan. And we consider this a deliberate assassination by rejecting his request for release, neglecting him medically, and keeping him in his cell despite the seriousness of his health condition.
Also, different Palestinian factions held the regime responsible for his death, saying that Israel will pay dearly for its crime.
The occupation bears full responsibility, and we will carry out our role in confronting those crimes and those assaults, in particular this crime which led to the martyrdom of Sheikh Hero Khadr Adnan.
Gaza-based Hamas resistance movement has also warned that the Israeli crime will not go unanswered. Also, the Fatah movement of President Mahmoud Abbas has called for immediate international action in support of Palestinians languishing in Israeli jails. According to Palestinian Prisoner Society, 4,900 Palestinian detainees are currently in Israeli jails, with 1,000 of them being held in administrative detention without charge. That's the highest number since 2003.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
Allah, Allah.
humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program for humanity. We are looking at the human traits, things that makes us human. And specifically, we are looking at the bad ones, because if you can avoid these bad ones, we can become good human beings. One of these traits that we seem to have, well, actually not seem to have, that we actually do have, is, as the Quran refers to it, ittiba'ul hawa, following our desires, following our needs and our wants. And there is nothing more devastating than following our needs and desires, even if it's against the law, or even if it means another person will be harmed in between. That's how bad we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Al-A'raf, verse 175 and 176, he says, وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. Give them the example of the person who we have given him our ayat. And this is, Allah is talking about Bal'am bin Ba'ura, the man who was at the time of Musa alayhi salam. And he says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا. I skipped the verse. وَلَكَنَّا أَخْذَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. But this person, he follows his own desires. So we kind of kept him on earth. And then Allah gives example of him. He says, فَمَثَلَهُ كَمَثَلُ الْكَلْبِ. His example is that of a dog. How so? إِن تَحْمَلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ وَإِن تَتْرُكُهُ يَلْهَثْ. If you leave the dog alone, he will be still out of breath. If you chase the dog and he's still out of breath. So Allah says this is a person who follows his hawa. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. Bal'am bin Ba'ura, Allah says, أَتَيْنَاهُ مِنْ آيَاتَنَا. We have given him our signs, our knowledge. And the hadith says he had al-ismu al-a'zam, the greatest name of Allah, which he can flip the universe like a coin if he wanted to with that name. But out of greed, out of jealousy, out of pride, when Musa alayhi salam became a prophet, he said, oh, how does that work? I'm a good guy. Allah should have made me the prophet, not Musa. And then he wanted to do dua against Musa alayhi salam. That's the level he got to. So Allah says, فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. We took everything from him. And then he went down. So because of اتِّبَاعُ الْهَوَى, following one's desires, it could put you in a place where you don't want to be. It will put you in a place where you would find yourself in the, at least the darknesses of this world and the deepest holes in the hereafter, which God forbid nor me or you want to even consider. So, and this concept of tuba al-hawa, mind you, is a very lengthy topic in ilm al-akhlaq. When we talk about the science of morals or ethics or morality, it's one of the biggest topics, and sometimes it's usually it's the first thing that's discussed, because tiba'ul hawa, Allah says, "Man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa." There are those who take their desires and their needs as their lords, as their gods, something they would worship. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, حُبُّكَ لِلشَّيْءِ يُعْمِي وَيُصِمْ. He says, your love for something, it will make you deaf and blind, or blind and deaf. And this hadith cannot be more accurate. I mean, even if you don't tell me the chain of narrators, I would accept it 100%. Why? Because this is something that we do. When we fall in love with something, it doesn't matter how much people advise us that this thing is bad and it is not good for us, we will never listen. Because our feelings, our hawa, our desire is connected to it. You know, sometimes a person falls in love with a woman and he wants to marry her. When everyone around him, they tell him this woman is a bad woman, she does not make a good wife, you should not approach her for reasons 1, 2, 3, 4. But he says, no, you're wrong. And he would go ahead and he would marry that woman. And then after a while, he realizes that he made a mistake. So this hub, this love, the Prophet says, made him blind. And each one of us, without exception, each one of us loves something at the end of the day. We either love our partners, we love our children, we love our cars, our houses, our money, even my health and my body, I could fall in love with. I and you, we love things. And if we don't control that love, which is that related to the nafs, the self and its desires, it can control me, it can consume me, I can be enslaved to it. And then once a person becomes occupied and becomes imprisoned with his desires and his wants and needs and his hawa, then he becomes as good as a blind and deaf. He would not hear anymore and not see anymore. Even if he sees the faults of the person that he loves in front of him, he would still not accept the fact that they are wrong and not good for him. So we have to be very careful. A hadith from Amir al-Mu'minin salamullah alayhi, he says, إِنَّكَ إِنْ أَطَعْتَ هَوَاكَ, if you follow your desires, أَصَمَّكَ, it will make you deaf. That's the first thing. If you become a servant to your desires, وَأَعْمَاكَ, and made you blind, وَأَفْسَدَ مُنْقَلَبَيْكَ. And this is an add-on from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. وَأَرْضَكَ, so it will make you blind, it will make you deaf, and it will corrupt your heart. It will corrupt you in this world. مُنْقَلَبَيْكَ means this world and in the hereafter. So in this world, a person, you know, he would lose, he would fall into, he chases something that he loves, and he will never get it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has this thing where sometimes he just wants to test us. And you can try as much as you want, but you won't get it. So you lose in this world. And in the hereafter, obviously, there's punishment. So we have to be very careful. What are dark? It would be your demise. It would be the end of you. In this world will be the end of you. And also in the hereafter. So we have to be very careful when it comes to the things that we need, the things that we love, to be very careful not to be consumed by it. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli wa sallim ala rasul wa ali nabiy
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program, Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashimi Nejad. Please stay tuned. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in a beautiful hadith states, companionship with a sinner and a corrupt person causes suspicion and pessimism. Also, Prophet Muhammad stated, companionship is effective. The best example is iron and magnets. If you rub a piece of iron to a magnet, it will gradually work like a magnet. Thus, communications, friendship and relations are effective in our life.
کاری نکنیم که فردای قیامت فریاد بزنیم بگوییم به تعبیر قرآن.
Therefore, we must be very much careful about our friends so that in the other world we do not regret selecting our friends in this world. This is because friends in this world have influence on our deeds and behaviors, and they may lead us to the heaven or hellfire in the other world. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Hashim Nejad. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye. Thank you.
in the limelight.
Scotland Yard has been accused of an incredibly alarming attack on the right to protest after police used new powers to arrest the head of the leading Republican movement and other organizers of an approved demonstration just hours before King Charles' coronation. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Reported, Graham Smith, the head of the UK's leading anti-monarchy movement, was planning to lead thousands of fellow Republicans in protest of King Charles' coronation. In the end, he didn't get the chance. Smith and five others were arrested in central London, according to the group. The reason for the arrest remains unclear. At approximately 7:30 a.m. local time, Smith and his fellow protesters were collecting placards for attendees when, according to The Guardian, they were stopped by the police. A spokesperson for the Republic told the newspaper that the police would not provide a reason for the arrest. In the photos of the arrest posted to Twitter by the campaign group, Smith can be seen sitting on the ground, surrounded by police officers. In a video, one officer can be heard saying they are under arrest. End of. The Metropolitan Police, which has deployed 11,500 officers for the coronation, subsequently tweeted that they had made a number of arrests in the area, adding that the individuals have been held on suspicion of breaching the peace. Smith, who widely publicized the demonstration plans, told Time in the run-up to the coronation that he expected as many as 1,700 people to join Republic on Trafalgar Square, a historically popular site for protests in Britain. In addition to chants of "Not my king," Smith said the protest would also feature speeches from lawmakers, activists, and even representatives of other Republican movements. Their principal argument, Smith says, is that monarchy is inherently anti-democratic and that Britain should have an elected head of state instead. By arresting the protesters and preventing them from peacefully protesting, the British authorities may have inadvertently bolstered the anti-monarchist stance. Just days before the coronation, the British government passed into law the Public Order Bill, which gives the police greater powers to crack down on those engaging in popular protest tactics. Strategies like locking on, in which a protester attaches themselves to an object, infrastructure, or other people to make them difficult to remove, are now punishable by up to 6 months in prison. According to the Metropolitan Police, four people were arrested with lock-on devices on suspicion of conspiracy to cause public nuisance. Meanwhile, Guardian reported Yasmin Ahmed, the UK director of Human Rights Watch, condemned the arrest. The reports of people being arrested for peacefully protesting against the coronation are incredibly alarming. This is something you would expect to see in other countries. Peaceful protests allow individuals to hold those in power to account, something the UK government seems increasingly averse to, she claimed. Sacha Demuk, Amnesty International UK's chief executive, said the human rights group had been concerned about Met's statements about its low tolerance of protest. He said, "We need to see what details emerge around these incidents, but merely being in possession of a megaphone or carrying placards should never be grounds for a police arrest. Peaceful protest is clearly protected under international human rights law, and it's been worrying to see the police this week making numerous statements about their low tolerance for disruption at the coronation. The coronation shouldn't become yet another excuse for undermining people's basic human rights in this country, and we are awaiting more details over these concerning reports of arrest," he added.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: لا خير في الصمت عن الحكم، كما أنه لا خير في القول بالجهل.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam said, "There is no advantage in keeping quiet about an issue of wisdom, just as there is no good in speaking out an unintelligent thing."
¶¶
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's to my brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So, dear friends, when we are talking about the beautiful and auspicious and universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, we run into these statements of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, whom encourages us to flock towards the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so, of course, we find that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, who speaks only from wahi, he speaks from divine revelation and from what Allah commands him to speak and what is acceptable to the Almighty Allah. Of course, we find that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, has always encouraged the believers and encouraged the Muslims to go towards the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and to really take the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam as a role model, and not just a mere, role model amongst a whole variety of different role models, but to take Imam Ali alayhi salam as the role model after the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, himself. So he is therefore the rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah. He is the first divinely appointed Imam, the greatest disciple, and the living miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, it seems like that this emphasis upon the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam was precisely because in later years, it was the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam that was to be hidden and was to be subdued